Thank you, Sister Cheryl. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. The Bible Readers Banquet was a success. Yeah. If it's up to me, I'd read the Bible every day and read my Bible through this year and plan on coming next year. The preacher worked for 2 days fixing all that good food, best food ever as far as I'm concerned. It's a trick question. Where's our memory verse? That's correct. Psalm 19:14. What's it say? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. We don't know all that yet. Let me see if I can find it here. We'll get part of it down. Part of it. I think we did learn, let's say Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth together a couple times. We're supposed to know that much. Together. Psalm 19:14,
let the words of my mouth.
Okay, good. Again.
Psalm 19:14,
let
the words of my mouth.
One more time.
Psalm 19:14,
let
the words of my mouth.
Now let's just say, and the meditation of my heart. And the meditation of my heart. Good. Again.
And the meditation of my heart.
Good. Again.
And the meditation of my
heart. Good. Again.
And the meditation of my
heart. Good. Again.
And the meditation of my heart.
Who believes we can put it together? Okay, well, let's do it. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Good. Again.
Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart.
Good. Again.
Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart.
One more time.
Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth.
I've noticed that meditation is singular. I'm supposed to have one eye on the Lord. It would help me a lot. If I have one focus, one aim, one point, one theme, one main thing, the meditation of my heart, if that's Him, we'll be doing pretty good. It's going to help me a lot. Went back to see my psychiatrist again. She said, I have low self-esteem. Said, but that was common among losers. So I guess I'll be okay. John 7. We finally finished the Great Bread chapter. Chapter 6, let's look at chapter 7. John 7, 1. We better pray again, Brother Dave. How about praying for us? Amen. Thank you. John chapter 7, let's look at the first 3 verses here for a while. It said, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand, and his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples may see the works that thou doest. Now I couldn't find a map that got all those places. I couldn't find one map, so I got 3 here. I hope we'll figure it out. On that top map, the dark part is the water. You see Israel over to the right. And actually, the whole thing's Israel, but back then, he had Judah for the southern half and Israel for the top half. And then on that bottom right, that smallest map, you see the Sea of Galilee. Well, I think also the area around it was called Galilee. And then over on the left bottom, You can see real clear when the kingdom was divided north and south. In the northern kingdom, the capital was Samaria. And the southern kingdom, the capital was Jerusalem. So let's read those verses again. Maybe we'll get a picture, kind of what it was like and where it was. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry or Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Down there where Jerusalem was, the religious capital of the world, religion is what killed him. It's probably what's going to kill us. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. And notice that he calls this their feast. They have left so much from what they should be that it's become their feast. And his brethren therefore said to him, "Depart hence, go into Judea, that thy disciples may see the works that thou doest." And here you see them giving the Lord of glory that made the Pacific Ocean some advice. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know which way to go. So a lot of times we got to advise him, give him some advice. The animosity, the Jews wasn't a good word. It was a racial slur, Jews. This is where the religious rulers wanted to kill him. And the common people wanted to crown him. Let's look at that in Mark 12:37, one of my favorite verses. I think we got some common people here. There's no legislators, no senators, no presidents, no governors. I don't even think we got any lawyers or mayors in here. Mark 12:37. David therefore himself called him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. You know why you came this morning? You wanted to hear him. You wanted to hear him and you were glad about it. You came in smiling and laughing. The common people heard him gladly. 1 Corinthians 1. Starting in verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." See, that's how I got in. That's how I got included. The beloved went ahead and included me anyway. But do notice this, it does say not many, it doesn't say not any. It might be one or two, I don't know. "But God hath chosen the foolish things." I get a witness right there. "Of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." That why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus." That's everything right there. "Who of God is made unto us wisdom." We can use his wisdom. "And righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Okay, back to John 7 and verse 2. "Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand." Chapter 6 took place at the time of the feast of the Passover. Be comparable to our Easter time in their month Abib. Now their months half our months. For instance, Abib would start on March the 15th and go to April 15th. That's approximate. That was chapter 6. Now, chapter 7 took place in the fall, the Feast of the Tabernacle in the month Elul, and that month starts on September the 15th and would end October the 15th, approximately. And it's going to be after harvest. It's going to be a good time to rejoice. And one big point of this feast is to rejoice. The farmer done put all the corn in the crib and dropped the peg in the hole, and it's locked up, and he sat down on the front porch to drink sweet tea and praise the Lord. That's where we're at. Let's look at it in Deuteronomy 16. Verses 13. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. It's going to be a whole week of rejoicing. After that, thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. See, you thought I was kidding. Right there it is, the corn. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that are within thy gates. If they have something to rejoice over, think how much more we have to rejoice about. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. Now on Andy Griffith, old Floyd, said they were doing that play, and he said, Andy, I told them to rejoice, and they're not rejoicing.
Right. Yeah.
Y'all not rejoicing.
Yeah.
You need to rejoice here a little bit, all through here. That's in the first place. They're going to rejoice because the harvest is in.
Right.
In the second place, there's more sacrifices offered during this feast than these 7 days than any other sacrifice. Showing the Lord that we love Him. Let's look at that in Numbers 29. Making us at one with God, starting in verse 12, Numbers 29:12. And on the 15th day of the second month, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work, and ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. And ye shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, of the sweet savor unto the Lord, 13 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year. They shall be without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deal unto every bullock of the 13 bullocks, 2/10 deal to each ram of 2 rams, and a several-tenth deal to each lamb of the 14 lambs. And verse 16, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, his meat offering and his drink offering. Now this 1 kid of the goat is in every day of the 7 days. But the first part gets less each time, like in verse 17. And the second day, you take 12 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, and the meat offering and the drink offering, and 1 kid of the goat for a sin offering in verse 19. Every time, a sin offering. Then on verse 20, on the third day, 11, this is like the 10 days of Christmas song. I think that's where they got it. I'm not sure. Verse 20, on the third day, there's 11 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs on the first day, the meat offering, drink offering, and then verse 22, 1 goat for a sin offering. We need a sin offering. We learned Wednesday night that's a picture of Jesus bearing our sins. Verse 23, on the fourth day, 10 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, first year without blemish, their meat offering, their drink offering, and 25, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering. Verse 26, on the fifth day, 9 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, first year without spot, drink offering. Then verse 28, and 1 goat for a sin offering. Never leave the sin offering out. Then 29, and on the sixth day, 8 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, of the first year without blemish, the meat offering and drink offering. Then verse 31, and 1 goat for a sin offering. Then 32, and on the seventh day, 7 bullocks, two rams, 14 lambs, first goat's meat offering, drink offering, and verse 34, and one goat for a sin offering. On the eighth day, if the first day was a Sunday, then the eighth day's a Sunday for a Sabbath. Again, it might not have been. Sabbath was a holy day. Verse 35, on the eighth day, you shall have a solemn assembly and shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. One bullock, one ram, seven lambs the first year, and a meat offering, drink offering. Verse 38, and one goat for a sin offering. And then verse 39, these things ye shall do unto the Lord in your set feasts, beside your vows and your freewill offerings, for your burnt offering, for your meat offering, for your drink offering, for your peace offering. And Moses told the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had commanded him. As in the second place. In the third place, they're going to do it because every seven years, the law of Moses was read aloud publicly. Now, I was a little bit antsy this morning because they're going to be reading so many verses and so much Bible, but they read the whole thing, I reckon. So if y'all want to send out for lunch or something, we'll read the whole thing. Let's see where they did that. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31:10. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of the tabernacles, that's the same week now where we're at, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. So we're in pretty good company when we're reading the Bible. Gather the people together, the men and the women and the children, and thy stranger that is within thy gate, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, when we're born, we know nothing. And this is the only way they're going to learn if we tell them that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. That's in the third place, the reason they're having this feast. In the fourth place, daily, water from the pool of Siloam was poured on the altar while the people sang Isaiah 12. Now, I'm not going to sing it. Okay, I will. I was telling again yesterday, my uncle told me I was tone deaf. And about everyone else agrees. Amen. Got an amen from the preacher on that one. Here we go, Isaiah 12. And this is what they sing. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. That'd be a good reason to rejoice right there. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I think that's a good King James definition there. I underline trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. I get an amen right there. Therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name, declare His doings amongst the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.
Yeah.
That's in the fourth place. In the fifth place, the reason, or one thing they did during this feast, there was universal rejoicing. Holiest and the greatest feast day of all, in all Israel's history. And the Day of Atonement was 5 days before this. And I think I skipped over there a while ago. On the first day of this month was the Feast of Trumpets. On the 10th day was the Day of Atonement. And on the 15th day, the Feast of Tabernacles began. The scapegoat was used here. At the end of the year of labors, the harvest was gathered. Every 50th year, there was a great jubilee and proclamation declaring liberty. The Feast of the Passover was a type of the crucifixion. The Feast of Pentecost was a type of the Holy Spirit coming. And the Feast of Tabernacles was represented the second coming of Jesus to gather His people
right.
unto Him. The Jews believe that when He comes again, it's going to be in the fall. And might be during this time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And their own land was promised to Abraham. When he comes back, the king's going to be on the throne then to set up the kingdom. Won't be a kingdom without a king. There's a climax. The climax is the swords beat into plowshares and peace with the Prince of Peace on earth. There'll be no peace till the Prince of Peace is here to enforce it. Now back to John 7. Again, verse 2 and 3, here's some advice for the Lord of glory. Some of us creatures figured out that we knew something, and we're going to tell Him about it. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles at hand, and his brethren therefore said to him, talking to the Lord, his brother, it's the brethren, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. This is some selfish advice. And then verse 4 is some worldly advice. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. But thou do these things, show thyself unto the world. And verse 5 is some faithless advice. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Here's some unbelieving brother giving the Lord some good advice. Brethren know a lot. They know a lot of stuff sometimes. Here's the answer, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Verse 7, some submission to the will of God. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Then 8 and 9 is more of the answer. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Then verse 10 is the arrival, and it's solitary. And when his brethren were going up, then went he also up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. It was in secret and solitary. Verse 11, then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? He hid himself. It wasn't time for him to be a king yet. And he's not a deceiver. He's not ready yet. You see this in John 2:13. This makes the third year. We looked at this the other day a little bit clearer, but here it is again in John 2:13. and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. That's the first year of his ministry. And then in 5:1, we see, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. That's the second year of his ministry, and the chapter we're in is the third year. He's a pilgrim and a prophet, and he always points to the Father. He always points to the Father. He does nothing outside of the Father. And these are attitudes and searchings and surmisings is what we've been reading. Verse 12 is the God-man. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he's a good man. Well, I hate to tell you, they missed it. Yeah, he's a good man. He went about doing good. But he's the God-man. There's only been one God-man, and that was him. Yeah, he was a good man, but that's an understatement. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Then 13, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. They're oppressed and depressed and suppressed. And verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? They said, look, he never went to school. He's never been to a state-approved college. He doesn't have a degree, a piece of paper. He hadn't graduated. He hadn't went to our school. He's not teaching what we teach. Where'd he learn this stuff? Well, let's look at Revelation 19:16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, capital K, capital I, capital N, capital G. He didn't need capital letters after his name to show that he was a doctor or something. His whole name is capitalized. His whole name's uppercase. His whole name is big. Capital O, capital F, big K, I-N-G-S, big capital A-N-D, capital L-O-R-D, capital O-F, capital L-O-R-D-S. Line them all up. He's king of all the kings there is. Line them all up. He's lord of all the lords there is, all the landlords and any other lords. He don't need no capital letters after his name. He don't need to go to our school. He started school. He don't need any of that. Verse 16, they rejected him. And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. All they reject him, reject God. Jesus is equal to God.
Yeah.
You reject one, you reject the other.
Yes.
And you'll probably start off rejecting this. You all won't.
Right.
Not this crowd. You won't. But it starts, they start criticizing this. And then the Lord.
Yes.
Jesus is God. You reject one, you reject the other.
Yes.
17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Let me say it again. They'll start off rejecting this.
Yes.
And then they'll reject God and Jesus, the one and the same. If I'm willing, God will make himself real to me. And right here, my doctrine in 16, my doctrine, 17, the doctrine, they're the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing, same one. What Jesus said, same thing as what God said. Let's read it again. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Let me go ahead and say it's from God. And it's Jesus' doctrine, and it's God's doctrine, and they're one and the same. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.